God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
We sing our opening hymn this morning, hymn 821, Alleluia. Sing to Jesus, if you'd stand on the last verse of the hymn with us this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
Believe you, there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We continue with our introit this morning from Psalm 134 and Psalm 33. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. We sing the Kyrie. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you reign among us by the preaching of your cross. Forgive your people their offenses, that we, being governed by your bountiful goodness, may enter at last into your eternal paradise. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today, the last Sunday of the church year, comes from the book of Malachi in the third chapter. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then, once more, you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Do we have any children that want to come up for the children's sermon today, or you guys want to? It's just Victor, okay. That's good. Good job, Victor. Hello, how are you? Good, I have a question for you today. Curious what it means when we read through the psalm in the introit, and it said, let all the earth fear the Lord. What do you think it's talking about when it says fear the Lord, Victor? Well, but listening now, when you hear fear the Lord, what do you think? Yeah, sometimes we think that the wrong things about it, huh? That we should be afraid of God, like when we're afraid of something bad. But what do you think he might mean besides that? Because that's not what he means. Like, we should be afraid of him like he's something bad. God's not something bad, right? Mm-hmm. So what do you think it means? You had a scary dream, yeah. So, and God's not like a scary dream, huh? He's different than that. So when the Bible tells us to fear the Lord, it's talking about more like respecting the Lord. Does that make sense? Like we would be respectful, like when we come up to the altar and we bow before we go up the altar and we're showing respect and awe of God. When we're in the sanctuary and we're respectful to God, when we stand up for the gospel reading, right? Those are all things that we're showing God that we respect him and that he's awesome. And that we're in awe of him. So that's what it's saying when it says fear the Lord. Like, not be afraid, but the way we might respect someone who's in authority above us. Does that make sense? Good. Let's say a little prayer, okay? Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the fact that you are amazing and awesome and very much above us. And Lord, you could be scary, but you're not. You come to us as a loving Father who forgives all our sins, who calls us your own children, and who died on the cross for us that we might live forever with you. You took our punishment, Lord. Bless us today and help us to be respectful of you, but Lord, also to see that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Victor. We continue with our epistle lesson. It's from the book of Colossians in the first chapter. The Apostle Paul writes, by the Holy Spirit, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to stand, if you're able, as we sing our Alleluia verse and for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And there followed Jesus a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that have never bore and the breasts that have never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Would you join us in confessing our faith this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Would you join us in singing our hymn this morning? It's 813, "Rejoice, O Pilgrim Throng." In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. Well, so we made it to the end of the church year, and next Sunday will spark a new church year and the season of Advent in our liturgical calendar. But it's at the end of the church year when we most often hear messages of the eschaton, the end, eschatology, readings that speak about the last days, which we know are coming. We forget sometimes that they are, and we think that we'll just go on, and Jesus, well, maybe he'll come back soon, but we get distracted from the urgency of our faith. And it's oftentimes, too, that bad understandings color the end times, color our understanding or our opinions about the end. And certainly, the earth continues to await this consummation of the age. But we don't want to be thinking wrongly about the end, always wondering, this is how we might think wrongly about it, always wondering, well, what will happen to me? Will I be saved? Will I be judged righteous? Even if I don't make it to that day and I pass away from this earth before the Lord returns in historical time, how will God judge? How will he rule? Will I be saved? Or, God forbid, condemned? And if that's our thinking, if those are our thoughts, if that's our line of reasoning about the end, then I have an announcement to make. We think wrong. For the consummation of the days is not the goal. It never has been. The day when the trumpet sounds, although we expectantly await such a day as believers, the day is not the goal. The goal, the true eschaton, the telos, the end, is not that day, but rather is what takes place in our gospel reading this morning. Jesus on his cross. The moment when the fullness of the punishment of the law comes to its goal, to its end. That's what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 10. He says, Jesus Christ is the end of the law to those who believe. This moment that we heard about this morning, all sin and guilt, every mistake that you've made or I've made, every bad decision, everything done wrongly or left undone wrongly falls into one place. It's all on him. For he bore our sins. The cross is the moment that the whole world is judged. It happened at the cross. The eschaton, the last day. Did you hear Jesus, if you are familiar with the Gospel of John, in the 12th chapter, in the 31st verse, when he's speaking about the cross, he says, now is the judgment of this world. It is Jesus being crucified for the whole world. It is Jesus who is the absolute goal, the very center of all things. It is Jesus who is the last. He himself. Even the last day we await, it's not about that day. That day is only anything because it's the return of Jesus. It's his coming that matters because he's the center. of all things. And to understand this is it doesn't go well with our what scholars will call our Greek thinking. Because we think about all of these things on a timeline, with a start and with a finish. And it's certainly true, just like any day of our lives, right? There's the morning when the sun breaks over the mountains, and then there's the evening when it sets. There's sort of the beginning and sort of the end, and that's certainly true in this sense as well. But more than that, the way that God is showing us time, it really isn't on linear lines, but more within the reality of what the earth and the sun are doing, the dance that they're in every day. It's more about the center, or the axis, or the orbit of all things, which is displayed in the heavens. All these realities orbit around one solid reality: God's love for you in Jesus Christ. He is the center of all things. Just like our earth orbits around our sun, so do our lives as believers orbit around Jesus and his cross all the time. It was the moment the world had been waiting for. The gospel writers say, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. And he died for the world. And in those moments, we have a different picture of Kairos, of time itself. It's all about the center, more than it's just about a beginning and about an end. Our reading from Colossians, it told us that same thing, didn't it? It said he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation. Well, on our linear time, that doesn't work out very well, does it? Because how could he be the firstborn? Because I know people were born before him in creation. And we say, well, he's the firstborn of the faith, right? Like the first born of believers who will come after him and believe by him, by his gift of faith. Very true. But careful with your timeline. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him, he writes, and for him. And he's hanging on the cross in our reading this morning. He's the center of everything, of all time. He goes on in verse 17, and he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. Everything is orbiting, if you will, around Jesus, around his cross and his resurrection. And he, verse 18, is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. What about time? Yeah, in time as well. For he created all things, and in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to do what? But to reconcile to himself all things. Whether on heaven, on earth, or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. It's Jesus on the cross for you that makes the difference. It's Jesus on the cross for you that changes everything for you. So much so that we could say Jesus on his cross is the eschaton, the end. He said it on the cross, right? It is finished. This is the moment when our mistakes are taken upon the spotless Lamb of God. When he crucified, it defeats all sin, death, and the devil. This is the moment that we heard about in Luke 23 where we win. It isn't some day off in the future. It's that moment when our sin and our old nature is crucified and where Jesus fulfills the words that he said to his mother before the cross, "Behold, I make all things new for you too and for me." Now our goals have shifted away from trying to gain something from this world, away from being found righteous by our works on the last day. That's a problem with that timeline, isn't it? Well, I still have time to do it right if it hasn't happened yet. Well, let me know how that goes for you. Getting it right, I mean. Sin is a powerful thing, and it's still clinging to us in our nature, so that the things that we want to do, we don't do, and the things that we don't want to do, that's what we find ourselves doing. That's the way Paul puts it in Romans chapter 7. We're made righteous at the cross. Yeah, long ago, but the sinner of all time. Now today, we sit here this morning, righteous in Christ Jesus, made holy by the blood of the Lamb without spot or wrinkle, not condemned. Just try to think about that for just a second. It doesn't matter what's happened. It doesn't matter. You're set free from all those things that the devil wants to keep bringing up to you and reminding you of all the time. You're free. It's done. It's finished. He died for you. He took all your sins. But are you seeing yourself that way? Really? Or are you looking at yourself? Am I looking at myself, thinking that that can't be the case? That's the cross. It is the case. And repentance. We've been talking about it a lot lately. We talked about it a lot last Sunday. But repentance doesn't happen from us. Repentance is a gift. It's the working of the Word and the Spirit that brings us to repentance. It's not something we're doing, trying to be ready for something. It's something that's already done and finished at the cross and then delivered to us through the Word as a pure, beautiful gift of God in faith. Jesus changed everything. He made all things new, and now nothing works quite the way we think it does. If someone says they're sorry because they sinned against God, it's the work of God in you and me that does that. We're not trying to earn our way, but why can't we get that out of our head? Like we have to measure up all the time. We have to do it right. No. We do need to live right. But it's God's leading and work and word that does that for us and through us always. He's bringing that to bear in us each and every day. We're new. And because we're new, because of the cross, this holy reality, this eternal paradise, this hope in Christ, it's already begun inside of us by faith. And God will bring that good work to completion that he began in you. Christ took every mistake on himself at the cross, and he crucified it. And so we can say, "Hush, devil, you lose. Jesus has won the victory." And I love the way that Luther puts that. Luther says, "If you want to accuse me, Satan, And you come to accuse me, Luther says, you've come to the wrong address. If you want to accuse me of my sin, you'll have to go talk to my Lord who bore it on the cross. He set you free. And he said, all our sin on the cross. It doesn't quite work the way that we think, but Jesus is the center of all time. He is the end of days, crucified and resurrection, and resurrected so that we're now safe. We're now his children through the waters of baptism. We're now his beloved. And the benediction at the end of the church service isn't a spoof. The Lord bless you and keep you. His face does shine on you, and he does give you peace because of the spotless Lamb of God who died for our sins. And when we need to be assured of that, he gives us powerful gifts. Do you ever find yourself in that position where you need some assurance, right? You need to know it's okay because the world's kind of spinning around and it's telling you that it isn't, and even our own consciences are telling us maybe that it isn't, and we're just not sure and we need that assurance. Do you know how the scriptures bring us that assurance? See, sometimes in some confessions of faith that exist in the Christian world, they say, well, your assurance is the fact that you were chosen by God long before the world was created. In some unknowable choice of God, they say you were chosen. That's how you can be sure. And we say, well, if I'm chosen, then why did I sin? And why do I keep even sinning? And some other people and messages in our Christian faith will answer the question of assurance this way. They say, well, here's how you can be sure. Just work really hard and be really committed and try really hard, and then you can have assurance that everything's okay. So one of them's pointing to a choice of God, and one of them's pointing to you, and neither one of them are right. Do you know how we as Lutherans confess assurance? When we need to know that everything is safe, when we need to know we're okay with God and that Jesus' cross is the center of all time and was enough for us? Do you know how we as Lutherans confess this? How can we be sure that Jesus has saved us? We say this simple thing. Look at the cross. He died for you. Jesus went to the cross for you, and it is the end. And he said, it is finished. And every single time that doubt springs back up, we say, look to the cross, because it's always standing there planted for our salvation. And that faith grabs a hold of that promise, doesn't it? There's our assurance. Jesus on his cross. And one of the last points about this eschaton reality of our Lord. There wasn't a moment in time where you weren't safe. Because as believers, the judgment has already come. It came upon our Lord. So the way that we think about this needs to be adjusted just a little bit, and we say, by faith, I've passed through the judgment already because it fell on my Lord Jesus. By faith, I can live free and joyous in this world. And Jesus, we heard it from Luke this morning. Do you think that there was ever a prayer that Jesus prayed that God the Father didn't answer? Never. If Jesus prays and asks God the Father for something, then don't doubt it for a moment. It is done. And did you hear his prayer for you on his cross this morning on Luke 23? There's never been a prayer of Christ that wasn't answered immediately, and you heard it yourself in our reading from the cross. His prayer from his own mouth, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to our time for the prayer of the church this morning. Our response for our prayers are, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, grant that we may rejoice in Christ, who displays his kingly reign first from the cross, and on whom we wait for the revelation of all that is to come, that we may enter into our eternal rest by the merits of Christ alone. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayer. O Lord, bless this congregation and your whole church with faithful pastors and church workers who speak without embarrassment or apology the gospel of Christ crucified and risen. Grant that we, as hearers of this gospel, may respond with thanksgiving, especially during this season as we celebrate the upcoming holiday. Lord, bless our homes and our families that we may truly be thankful. Lord, guide our hearts and minds to the good things that you provide and away from our fears and anxieties. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, by Christ's atoning death, we are spared as sons and daughters and as your treasured possession. Lord, bring your blessings upon all Christian homes and children, that they would grow in fear of the Lord and esteem your name throughout their lives, serve you faithfully, and walk in your charge, undismayed by the prosperity that they see of the wicked, until all is revealed on that last day. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, let the earth fear your name and all the world's inhabitants stand in awe of Jesus. For you alone with the Holy Spirit are King of kings and Lord of lords. Preserve those who fear and serve you in this fallen world. Maintain good government among us. Even so, Lord, come quickly, for your kingdom is not of this world, and our citizenship is with you in heaven by faith right now today because of your cross and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, grant healing and peace to those who are afflicted in body and mind. Relieve the suffering and give peace to those who are dying and comfort to those who are grieving today. Lord, especially we name before you from the altar this morning the family of Ed Wiseman, Wendy Vest, Brian Hawson family, Marcus and his family, Teresa O'Haver, Cheryl O'Dowd, Betty Patton, Carly Moore, Izzy Wieskamp, Connie Hauser, Letha and Tom Hershey, Helen Almdale, Lauren O'Howe, Jeff Otto Pollock, Frank and Audra Rendon, Larry Reinberger, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, that in their need you may be their strength and their peace. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, bring us in repentance and faith to receive rightly your Son's own body and blood. Manifest in us the unity of faith and the strong witness before the world. By this communion, Let our lives bear the good fruits of your Spirit in holy words and works. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, preserve your people from all temptation and amid all trial, lest they give into the power of evil or despair. Grant that your people be bold and faithful witnesses to those around them. Lord, in your mercy. O Christ, our King, in your blood, the saints of all ages wash their robes and find entrance to paradise with you. Bring us also with them out of death and the grave and into resurrection and eternal life at the last day, when we will see you crowned with glory, for you are the Lamb who was slain and now lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We come to the time of our offering this morning. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we'll enjoy an instrumental from our organist. You've been joining us on the radio this morning. We thank you for tuning into our service. We wish you the Lord's blessings on your week. If you're here in the sanctuary with us, please turn over to page 8 in your bulletin and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you. And may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK.